In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And this is basically, even though it will come out a day afterwards, this is our Christmas episode.
Woohoo!
So in defiance of the liberal left, I will say, Merry Christmas, Mike.
Merry Christmas, James.
Although, honestly, I've never felt like I couldn't say Merry Christmas to somebody. Mainly because I don't know anybody that celebrates any other holiday.
And honestly, like, you know, a lot of people get offended with the Happy Holidays thing. I don't have a problem with it, man.
To me, it's an all-inclusive thing.
It is all-inclusive. Well, here's the deal. The issue with it is that, like, you may not know the holiday that somebody else celebrates. So just out of general respect, let's just go ahead and say, we can say Happy Holidays. You can say Merry Christmas if you want to. Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Hanukkah, whatever you want to say.
I can say
in reflection
of
what you personally celebrate. Yeah. But that doesn't mean that the person next to you doesn't celebrate something different. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
And for some people, Christmas isn't necessarily a happy time. Some people don't like it.
Yeah, some people
I don't like having to go anywhere on Christmas, like stores or around Christmas. I hate going to stores around Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Last week, I've had to be at stores so many different times.
I will tell you this. As I did work this last weekend, for everybody who's listening to this right now, we're recording these on Monday.
You worked the weekend before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm recording these on Monday, even though they come out on Thursdays. And I just got done, and I will tell you, this is probably the most polite Christmas I have worked in my life.
Nice.
Yeah. It was, here's the thing, like,
that's
there's a
hear.
Big, I mean, a lot of it has to do with the fact that most people don't necessarily have to stress. You've got online ordering capability, and it used to be that all the people that forgot what to get online were the ones that are rushing out on the last Christmas weekend to find the last bit of their stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But this seemed more like everybody's just kind of getting final catch-up work. I found more people that were buying stuff for themselves.
Nice. That's always
good.
That
I found were buying stuff for other people. Not to say that I didn't do a lot of those transactions, but not necessarily more than it was more that I expected to find people purchasing for themselves, which is, you know, ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
You know, get yourself a Christmas present, man. What's wrong with that? But I definitely found quite a bit more. And it definitely wasn't more than people that are buying for other people. Yeah. Everybody's buying for other people right now. But I thought that was interesting, man.
I can say that the biggest problems I've had, because I've tried to avoid any of the stores where people do most of that heavy holiday shopping. I've gone to a few grocery stores, and that's about it.
Uh-huh.
And even then, I tried to pick times where people are less likely to be out doing the shopping.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a busy weekend because, of course, something big nationally happened this weekend, and I had to be a part of it twice.
We'll get into that later. Yes. Okay.
But, I found myself, for people that are familiar at all with the Sacramento area, because that's where I've been spending an increased amount of time in the Sacramento area because of some personal things, I found myself on Saturday afternoon at around 4 o'clock in the afternoon having to drive past the Arden Fair Mall. Now, this is not an advertisement for the Arden Fair Mall. I'm just trying to talk about location here.
Okay.
Now, you're familiar with that area of
Very
Sacramento.
Very familiar, yeah.
It took me at least 15 minutes just to drive past the Arden Fair Mall to get on Highway 80. From the one
where
end of the Arden
Fair
Mall.
From one end of Arden to the other side.
Is, to where 80
so
is,
from
yeah.
the south side of Arden Fair Mall to the north side where you start getting back on
where
business
you can 80. Get onto 80, yes. Where you can make the turn onto 80.
That so, is a surprise.
You know, there's that Arco station, that Arco gas station.
Yeah.
That's right there. I'm literally making that turn at
that
Arco gas station.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And going past 15 minutes to get through there because of how many people. The mall parking lot was packed to the gills.
Dude, this was yesterday?
Saturday. Yeah.
Okay.
It was cray cray.
I don't even use
that word.
I was going to say, I ended up not working Saturday. I worked Sunday.
Yeah.
And I figured Sunday was going to be more crammed than anything,
no,
right?
No. Saturday was nuts.
Saturday, I mean, I wasn't down in the Arden area.
Yeah.
I was down hopping around Roseville.
Okay.
Getting some stuff and taking care of that. I really was shocked at, like, there was traffic. But there wasn't like
well, no, once, and the
bumper
thing
to
is, once
bumper
I,
like
once
around
the
mall
freeways,
area. just smooth sailing. The Roseville, really? Yeah, the mall in Roseville.
Really, that was smooth. Well,
smooth. Couldn't believe it.
That one also has a much better parking system than what I feel Arden does.
Yeah, Arden's just a one level, right? Do they have covered parking or bi-level parking?
Arden's two level, but it only has the one level parking.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, it's a two level mall with one level park. Oh yeah, that's gonna be a problem.
The parking is god awful there, and it just that road was just terrible. But my other store experiences this weekend weren't bad. Again, we were just in grocery stores, so they weren't too bad. Had to get the final pieces for tamales.
Nice.
Having tamales tomorrow.
Nice.
Because family's coming over. A few family members coming over on Christmas Eve. Nobody's coming over on Christmas Day. Thankfully, we'll just have leftover tamales and have an easy, breezy relaxation day.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Cool, man. No, I'm
get the wife happy playing some more Diablo.
We're doing some nice.
Oh yeah, she's
into Diablo?
She is a fiend for Diablo. She has
Is she playing 3 yet?
That's what we're on. The 3 is the only one available on the consoles. We don't play computer games.
Oh, so you got a 3.
Yeah, we've had it before, but now with we have it on our newer console.
Yes.
And let me tell you something, it's way better. One.
Cool.
But two, like we started a game a co-op game.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the few, those and like the Lego games are like her co-op games that she likes to play.
Okay.
She loves any of the kind of fantasy games, which by the way, they're coming out with a new one next year that's based on the, for anybody that's more on the D&D geeky spectrum listening to this is going to go probably above your head.
Okay.
But they're coming out with another game based on the Baldur's Gate series.
Mm-hmm.
And this one will actually have the stars of the Icewind Dale trilogy. It's a book trilogy.
Okay. I'm not familiar with this.
Specifically, Drizzt Do'Urden will be one of the playable characters.
I do not know who that is.
Yeah, for D&D geeky fantasy people, the ability to play Drizzt Do'Urden as a character is like the one thing you want to do. He's one of the most famous D&D fantasy characters.
Cool.
I'll fill you in another time.
Okay.
But yeah, we had a co-op game, and I guess I wasn't home enough and had enough free time to play the co-op game with her because she started her own and she's already passed on her own game. She's passed where we are in the co-op game and she's just completely annihilating
everything.
She's
just slamming it. Yeah,
and I told her at this point because she's one character class in the co-op game and then she tried a new one in our co-op game.
Yeah.
And she went back to an old one that she liked in her personal game. I'm like, okay, if you're doing this good on it and you're kicking its butt, the challenge then is to play as every single character class and beat the game as every character class. Because, I mean, if you're almost at the end with this one, go for it. Be every character class and try to do it. No, I don't want to be the stupid archer. I hate stupid archers. Okay, whatever.
That's fantastic.
But yeah, get a little game time in. New Lego game coming out on 12/31. It's the Skywalker Saga, all 9 movies in a Lego game. Now I have
this coming out on Xbox One?
This coming out on Xbox One, PS4, Switch.
It's coming out on Switch too?
I believe so.
Oh, my God, on Switch.
Because the Lego games always come out on as many platforms as possible.
Yeah, totally.
And I have almost all the Lego games you can have that are movie
properties. The Lego games are super fun.
We have the Hobbit one. We have the Lord of the Rings one. We have all the various Star Wars ones that they've put out, which they've put out ones for the original trilogy. They put out ones for the prequel trilogy. They had one for The Force Awakens. They even had one for the Clone Wars TV series.
Whoa.
So there's a bunch of them that have been put out. I have all of those, but this one will encompass all 9 movies in the Skywalker saga. And of course it's coming out right after the movie was released last Thursday. So yeah, kind of neat. Actually when my son and I came home yesterday from having taken him to see that movie.
Yeah.
Yes. My son has finally had he got the opportunity on opening weekend to see Rise of Skywalker. Cause I'm a good dad. one of the first things he did was get on YouTube and find the advertisement, the trailer advertisement for the game and brought it downstairs, showed us on his tablet on YouTube. Hey, this game, we need to get this game. And the wife was like, there's a game coming out. I said, yeah, I knew it was coming out. When's it coming out? 31st. So when are we getting it? I guess the 31st.
I wonder why they didn't debut it like on Christmas Day or something.
No, well,
I mean the movie just came out. So
the thing is, like at many of your retailers, you can get a pre-order of it. And if you bought the pre-order, that's perfect. Especially if you bought your kid like a new system, if they're a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
Or you buy your adult person. If they're a Star Wars fan, an Xbox One, the Xbox One that they were selling that came with Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
And, you know, it came installed with it because it's installed on, you don't get the disc, you get a code to install it and boom, you have it on your Xbox. Then you pre-order them that game. That's like Star Wars fans' dream, basically. The only thing that would make it better is they have a special, I think it's a first order or it's a, I forget exactly what it is, but it's a special controller.
Cool.
Star Wars controller comes with its own charging base.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I wanted that, but I didn't get it. It was a little pricey. But yeah, that's coming out. But no, otherwise my experiences were good other than that traffic jam at the Arden Fair Mall. But
that's a surprise to me.
Well, again, the parking lot there is god awful, so it's not really that big a surprise, but it just the amount of time it was like took forever. Just people from far left lane trying to get over to get into the mall.
Oh, crossing over like three or four lanes. Yeah.
Craziness. And I'm trying to stay in my lane so I can get to the get onto the freeway and not be having to cross over a whole bunch when I get near the freeway area. You know what I mean? And be kind of the pain in the ass problem person. So yeah. But anyway, that leads into the other thing I was going to talk about real quick today.
What was that?
Obviously, I have seen the new Star Wars movie, Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've actually seen it twice. I saw it Thursday night at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
First showing on, you know, first time for showing on the West Coast.
All right.
And then I saw it again on Sunday.
Okay.
Interesting movie. I know I say that and people are like, what? Come on, more. I'm not going to give any spoilers away, first of all.
Well, that's inappropriate at this point in time. I have not seen it. I want to see it. I have heard some spoilers. Okay. I will not say what they are because are big.
Off of this,
we'll
if you want confirmation of spoilers, I will give them to you if you ask for them.
Okay.
And I'm willing to give anybody spoilers personally if they ask for them.
Yeah.
But if you don't ask for them, if you want some of the information to be saved, I guarantee you within a couple of weeks, all the information will be out and available and open.
Yeah.
There's some big things that happen that people aren't going to be able to keep quiet about. It's just the nature of it.
Okay.
But I will say this. Anybody who listens to this knows what a fan of Star Wars I am. Anybody who's been paying attention to anything in the media knows that this movie is probably at this point the most polarizing Star Wars movie that there has been. And that's saying a lot when you're dealing with the prequels, when you're dealing with the reception of Last Jedi.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with all of that, this right now has been amazingly polarizing.
Yeah.
And I didn't think it would happen again with Last Jedi, with the fact that critics loved Last Jedi. Critics thought it was the best Star Wars movie ever made. And
they did because it was such a departure from what was going on beforehand.
But it wasn't, and that's the thing. It's actually not a departure at all.
Are you sure? I mean, so
we can talk Last Jedi.
Let's talk about Force Awakens as well.
Okay.
In the sake of context, okay. We could talk about those. They've been... So spoiler alert, they've been out for like 3 years
now.
So
if you don't know what's going on with those, then that's your problem and you need to go watch some Star Wars movies.
Right.
So, let's talk Last Jedi. What would you say in Last Jedi is the thing that is not...
There's some things that I do not like about Last
Jedi.
Okay,
go ahead.
I have to use Force Awakens within context.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to start with Force Awakens, and then I'm going to move on to Last Jedi, because my explanation of... Now, not to say that I didn't like Last Jedi. No. I love Last Jedi.
I love it, too.
And Force Awakens was great, too. I liked them both.
Yes.
Okay? Now,
but for different reasons and in different ways.
Yes, exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. Okay, so if you look at the overarching theme of the Force Awakens is a reintroduction to almost the same story as New Hope in many instances.
Yes, in many instances.
You have a giant spherical a destructive warship that is destroying planets.
Yes.
That is controlled by the Empire.
Yes.
And stolen plans.
Yes.
Brought by droids.
Yes.
Show the weak spot of said warship,
yeah.
Which essentially is like a converted planet, if I'm not mistaken. Isn't it like a planet? Death Star, but it's going to be bigger.
But let me give you a little bit of backstory.
Yeah.
The planet that it is the planet where the Jedi used to go, used to take their younglings to go get kyber crystals to make their own lightsabers. It is a kyber crystal rich planet.
Wow.
You know what was used in the in the Death Star Super Laser, do you know what powered the Death Star Super Laser? If you paid attention to Rogue One, it's Kyber crystals. Kyber crystals are responsible for the Death Star Super Laser.
So the Death Star Super Laser is a giant lightsaber?
In a sense, yes.
It's a lightsaber cannon?
Yes.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Which
so
actually,
this, so harvesting yeah. makes total sense.
Gosh.
Are you getting other revelations by the about the new movie?
I am, because all I'm going to say is this. All I'm going to say is this. This is not a
You're
spoiler.
You're staying spoiler free, okay?
Now, the Jedi would use these kyber crystals to make their lightsabers.
Okay.
And they would have to go find these kyber crystals, and the crystals would basically speak to them through the Force to find them.
Right.
Okay, to locate them. Do you know who does not use kyber crystals for their lightsabers?
If there is any idea that it probably would be Kylo.
No, the Sith in general.
Oh, they don't?
The Sith do not use kyber crystals.
What do they use?
The Sith use synthetic crystals, which is why their blades are red.
Oh.
They use a synthetic crystal that they actually have to.
Is that why Kylo's is all weird? And
now there are.
Because it looks like
there are some Sith that can take kyber crystals and corrupt the kyber crystal and make it into by corrupting it with the dark side. They almost synthesize things in it and make it a saber. They can make it into a saber they can use.
Okay.
Kylo's actually the reason his saber does the crackling that it does.
Yeah.
Is because he actually designed his own saber without proper instruction from a proper master.
So it's an amateur-made lightsaber.
Amateur and older style. He made it from an older kind of model.
Is it a proto-saber?
No, it's not. It's not a proto-saber, but it's from an older Sith model of sabers where it's not contained as well.
Okay.
But he should be using a synthetic crystal by the look of it.
I do like the fact that, okay, if there's anything that I like about Kylo's lightsaber, which, I mean, it creates a cool effect, but
yes.
It does seem very archaic style, which is nice.
Yeah.
It also has a hilt. It's the only lightsaber I've ever seen with a hilt on it. That's cool.
Minor spoiler, you see why in The Rise of Skywalker, you see why he has a hilt.
Okay.
It's actually utilized at some point in battle.
Interesting. Okay.
That doesn't give a whole lot away. It really, I mean, just, you know, he's going to have lightsaber battles. You know, he's going to be using his lightsaber for stuff.
Spoilers. There's lightsaber battles in Star Wars.
Yes. but he actually does use his hilt at one or two points within battles.
Oh,
so
that's
there's
cool.
there's some purpose
to it. So
there's
a usage to it.
And I mean, in Force Awakens, he uses it too. When he's fighting Finn with the lightsaber,
yeah.
he's up close with Finn, and he turns the saber so that the hilt part is actually burning into Finn's shoulder at one point.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So he does use it. He
yeah.
does utilize
okay.
it.
Okay, all right. So going back to my assessment of what was going
okay.
on. The thing about
Force
Awakens. I started with Force Awakens.
So Force Awakens is basically
a
rehash.
On the surface, it looks like a rehash of New Hope.
Well,
right?
It is. It is.
And up to the point it is. And
let me add something.
I consider it appropriate.
Let me add something.
Yeah.
You also have one important thing that happens within there that happened in New Hope. You have
an unknown, unknown mysterious young hero from a desert planet.
There's that. But there's also the
Millennium Falcon.
There's also the fatherly figure, the teacher figure, mm-hmm. dying at the hands of the bad guy. Obi-Wan in the
right,
New
right,
Hope,
right, yeah.
Han Solo in Force Awakens.
Yes.
But then I want you to think back to another movie that finds a young protagonist on a desert planet in which a mentor is killed by the bad guy.
episode one
is a
yeah.
copy.
It's
okay.
a recurring theme.
Well, there's a reason for this, and I'll go over this in my analysis.
Okay.
But go on to your thing
okay.
of Last Jedi.
So
Last Jedi comes, and what's your
theme
thing with
it? The theme of Last Jedi is uh-huh. basically out with the old and with the new, and it is a repeated theme in dialogue and in scope. One of the things that you have in Force Awakens
yeah.
is you have the introduction of a new antagonist, main
yeah.
antagonist. You have Snoke.
Yes.
You have no clue who he is. Nobody flipping knew. And there was this huge amount of fascination. Who is this guy?
Okay.
Why
yeah.
is he here? What is going on with this? He's weird.
He's
strangely powerful, and you don't know why. There's no real explanation of what's happening. You don't understand fully what's going on, but people are like, I remember all the theories that were going out. Snoke yeah. is Mace Windu. Snoke is this. Snoke is that. And then Last Jedi comes out. Okay?
Yeah.
And Last Jedi has some a bit of rehashing, but not a huge amount.
Really? Because
yes.
the main plot is a rehash plot.
The main plot is a rehash plot of
Empire.
Is it Empire? Is the whole thing Empire? Because
Luke is doing the exact same in The Last Jedi, which is why any conversation you want to have
that
about
Yoda's
Luke
doing
does,
an Empire.
He does the exact same thing. In fear, he goes into hiding. Yoda, in Episode 3, gets his butt kicked
Obi-Wan
by...
Obi-Wan did the same thing. Yeah, Obi-Wan and fear went into hiding.
Obi-Wan did not. Different story. Let me get there.
Oh, really?
Yoda gets his butt kicked by Palpatine in Episode 3. Yoda gets it handed to him by Palpatine in Episode 3.
Oh.
They fight in the Senate chambers.
Right.
Obi-Wan is sent to
go... I gotta
go
back and see Episode
3
again.
Obi-Wan is sent to go after Anakin.
Right.
Yoda goes after Palpatine.
Yeah.
Confronts him in the Senate in Palpatine's office. And then there's a huge fight in the Senate chambers.
Yeah.
Huge fight. Palpatine wins. Yoda falls. Okay. Yoda falls seemingly to his death, and he runs away. Escapes. He goes into hiding out of fear. Goes and hides himself on a planet. Obi-Wan is sent by Yoda to first learn from Yoda's new master, because Yoda has a new master that he's learning from, about the ways of the Force beyond life.
Hold on. Are we talking Episode 3 still?
Episode 3. Yoda has a new master he's learning from.
Who's that?
Qui-Gon Jinn, who died in Episode 1.
Oh.
Who was one of the first Jedi to be able to fully understand. He didn't fit quite right when he was a Jedi and kept getting in trouble from the Council.
Right.
Because he dealt more with the living Force, the day-to-day movement of the Force.
Right.
He didn't deal with the strict, rigid structure of the Order.
Because it was contradictory to his philosophy when it came down to Force interaction.
And working with life. He trains Yoda after death. He's one of the first Jedi to be able to manifest his consciousness after death. He trains Yoda. Obi-Wan is sent into training with Qui-Gon.
Okay.
But also he is sent to watch over one of the two remaining children of Anakin.
Yes.
And he does that. If you remember back to New Hope, old Ben Kenobi.
Yeah.
Is a well-known figure in that area of Tatooine, near Mos Eisley, near the Jundland Wastes.
Yes.
Old Ben Kenobi, some crazy old hermit that lives out on the edge of society, he's known. He stayed there to keep an eye on Luke. And in fact, in the Rebels TV series, Darth Maul, who didn't die in the end of Episode 1, who lived and had metal legs for a long time.
Yes.
Kind of like Lieutenant Dan, but not really.
Spider Dan?
Well, he got regular legs at one point. He actually, as a result of Ezra, the main protagonist of Rebels, finds himself on Tatooine hunting down some kind of Force, something there, some Force user that they don't know. It turns out it's Luke they're hunting down, but they don't know that.
But they don't know he's there
yet. And they're found by Obi-Wan, and Obi-Wan and Darth Maul have...
they have a fight to the
their
death,
final
right?
Their final fight.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan finally does kill Darth Maul.
Yes.
For good.
Yes. I do know that.
I showed you that.
And
in
I knew
fact.
That. Yes. Yeah. You showed me that in Obi-Wan, Rebels. That's great.
Obi-Wan did not go into hiding in the sense of out of fear. Obi-Wan went to keep Luke safe. And in fact, there is coming out on Disney Plus an Obi-Wan TV series with Ewan McGregor in it that will take place during those years.
Oh, so they. Oh, because they were supposed to make that a
nope,
film.
It is a TV series. It is a series, series? Like The Mandalorian. It is a series that is coming out.
You know what? I both love and hate Disney for that because now I have to buy a stupid subscription in order to see that.
I'm going to tell you right now.
Or I'll just wait until the Blu-ray comes out. I'm getting Mandalorian spoilers all over the freaking place.
Dude, you need to watch The Mandalorian.
I don't have a Disney Plus account.
It costs like $8.
I know.
A month.
I know. There's a bunch of them. We have a ton of them.
So get it. Disney Plus is worth it. It's so amazing. You get all the Star Wars movies.
Oh,
you get all
goodness.
The TV series.
I'm going to have to like purge my subscriptions in order to see things that I want to see.
The Mandalorian.
Here's the deal. Like, I want to get Disney. I want to get DC. I want to get...
Yeah.
Like, there's so much.
So, I have Hulu. I have Amazon. I have Netflix. And I have the Disney Plus.
Yeah, I know. We have...
Because there's a different one on each thing.
We started getting the YouTube one. Because YouTube Red.
Yeah.
Karate Kid is... by the way, Cobra Kai is fantastic.
That's one I want to see, and I
that
haven't
is
had the
everything
to.
That you like. That is everything that you think it is. All of the good things about it, the way that they've reintegrated the story is fantastic. We're not talking about that. We're going back to Last Jedi. Okay.
So your issue is the theme
was a
death?
Departure. That was a huge thing with me to just nullify him out of nowhere and just be like,
"But he's
bye, sorry, you don't have to worry about it." It's like, but he was such a charismatic character.
Yeah,
there was so much to him that you wanted to know about, and then he just gets offed. By the way, the method that they used to kill him
was
awesome.
So amazing.
The method was great. The fact that he was gone pissed me off though.
So amazing.
Because it was so good. Now, the other things that happen in The Last Jedi that are a break or a departure.
Okay.
First off, there was no such thing as force projection.
Yes.
Until.
It was actually mentioned in. There are circulating.
Is this some kind of retconned in kind of thing you're talking about?
This is something that is actually written in.
Where?
And this is back in the 90s they came out. There was a Sith handbook guidebook and a Jedi handbook guidebook that were put out by Lucasfilm, approved stuff before by George Lucas' company before even the episode 1, 2, and 3 came out. That were part of the history and lore of the Sith and the Jedi.
Okay.
And there are some abilities that were put in there that have been talked about with Sith and Jedi able to do that never have been shown in any of the stuff. For instance, Jedi have the ability to put themselves into a dormant state that's almost like a hypersleep type state where they can be completely dormant and shut down their body functions for as long as they need to.
Did you say Sith or Jedi?
Jedi can do that. The Jedi can do that because they have control over their body chemistry in that way.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, Leia being able to fly herself back to the – pull herself with the Force back to a door
while
on the ship.
Shutting down her body function so she doesn't suffocate in space.
That is a Jedi skill. There's a Sith ability, typically using Sith artifacts that have been made through the Force to actually draw out the life force of living things. And steal the life force from them.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, places that are strong in the dark side will usually have dead or twisted plants and stuff around it because the dark side energy is drawing out the life force from it. Specifically in the – now, this is legend stuff that's not considered canon anymore, but an old Sith or an old Jedi master who turned to the dark side and became a Sith Lord, Exar Kun. Use the temples that you see on Yavin 4. Yavin 4 is the planet that the Rebel base is on in New Hope. Mm-hmm. They have those big kind of almost Incan-looking temples on Yavin 4. Those were actually from the Masasi people who lived on Yavin 4 before.
You're getting way...
I know, it's getting deep. But those temples were built to draw the life essence of all the Masasi people into Exar Kun to give him more power. They were focuses of the dark side of the Force.
Okay.
So... there are many, many Force abilities that are not done necessarily in the movies, but have been talked about in various other sources. And the ability to Force project yourself is one of the accepted and recognized Force powers from the Star Wars universe.
Okay,
hold on. It's not known to most casual operators, but it is a Force power that's available.
Hold up. First off, as far as that's concerned... we don't know what of Lucas's stuff left over is actually integrated by Disney and not.
No, we don't. We don't. But I'm just saying that
there's an entire story set that has been established that was approved by Lucas throughout the 90s in novels and other things.
That's no longer a part of things.
That are no longer a part of things. So you can't tell whether or not that is part of.
But I am saying it has been something that has been discussed as a Jedi power. Now,
it's a potential,
the level of which
until Last Jedi came out, it was not known as a potential Force power.
No, it was not known as one, but there is some record of that being discussed before.
I can understand that, at the same time, the debut of that was in Last Jedi.
Which is good,
I think. The official film canonical debut of it was
Last Jedi. Here's my question for you.
Yes.
Should a Force user be able to heal an injury on another person? Like let's say a flying being has scratched up your arm and their talons are poisonous. Your arm is scratched up. The poison is in your body. You're dying from it. Can a Force user heal you? From your understanding of the Force,
can a Force user heal themselves that way?
Let's say I'm the Force user. You're the one that's got scratched by the being.
Right.
Can I heal you through the Force?
Not that I know of.
Guess what? Mandalorian spoiler. Baby Yoda. And I call him that because we don't know, still don't know the species name.
Yeah.
Baby Yoda heals Chubbs, the golf instructor. When Chubbs, the golf instructor, gets his arm scratched
Chubbs,
up.
The golf instructor.
Hey, it's Carl Weathers. That's what I know him from.
Right.
He heals him.
This is all stuff that's been debuted recently, though. That's what I'm getting at.
But so more force. So okay, you see so more whoa, force whoa, 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 powers.
Hold on.
Healing
1 second.
Has not necessarily been discussed.
Wait. Okay, I need to know something because just in case, is this the question comes down to whether or not that is a benevolent, neutral, emotionless thing to do, or is it emotionally charged? Because emotional charging, when you use the force in with an emotional backing. It's a dark power, not a light one.
Typically, yes.
And I know that.
As a basic
fan, I know that.
Yeah.
So whether or not that's a violation is a violation of that. Who knows that puts the character of Baby Yoda in this weird amoebic limbo.
You don't know
who he is.
Well, he's also done a force choke on somebody. So.
He force choked
somebody, not to death, but to
prove a point.
He thought the man.
Vader didn't force choke anybody to death.
Yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right. He did.
Admiral Ozzel.
Oh, he does kill him. I thought he releases him.
No, that's the best scene from Empire Strikes Back is when he's on
Empire.
Doesn't
he do it in Hope too? But he does it in Hope to another guy.
He does it in Hope to another guy, but in Empire.
Oh, that's right. He fires him by force choking him to death, and he's just
over,
like, you're
promoted
now.
Screen,
yeah.
Over the view screen. That's the best scene. That's the best scene. I forgot about that. It's just like he's sitting there. Dude starts choking. Captain Piet, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to do this. You're in charge now, Admiral Piet. It's like I just and Piet's just like side eyeing like what the hell, okay, whatever you say, Lord Vader. So here's the thing: force powers are, you're right, emotional charge can sometimes bring out different sides of things. But the thing to understand is there's light side, there's dark side, there's the gray in the middle. The powers may trend towards either side.
Yeah,
but. The purpose and the reason for using them are more important than the powers themselves.
So you're saying things that are Sith,
but keep in mind,
can be considered physically Sith-centric, like Force Lightning, can be used by either power. But the question comes down to whether or not it is used in a neutral or benevolent fashion, or an emotional
I'm having a little bit of a freak out right now, but yes.
Okay, so technically speaking, like that from what I know, that technically means that you can do that. What's funny is the characterization of these powers has been kind of
absolutist.
A bit, yeah.
Only Sith speak in absolutes. Although, funny enough, that statement right there is an absolute statement. Sith speak in absolutes.
Right.
Yeah, that's an absolute statement. Sorry, Obi-Wan. You gotta check your shit.
Yeah, it is. That is really, really, really funny.
Anywho, we're going to take a break. We'll come back to this. We're on Last Jedi. We're still discussing the issues of Last Jedi. We just discussed the Snoke issue and the Luke projection, which, again, there is some reference to it before.
Yeah.
And I love I will add the fact that Luke gives himself into the Force as a result of the strain that it takes. It basically kills him, the result of the strain from it.
Right.
Is actually, I
and then he gives himself to the Force, and that's, I loved that.
Well, and I applaud the fact that to show how much strength that power took, there's also something to realize. The reason he was on that planet, Ochto, is because Ochto has one of the earliest Jedi temples. If you remember, the books were there in that little kind of tree thing.
Yeah.
Has one of the earliest Jedi temples. Everywhere where the Jedi and the Sith set up their temples and set up their stuff, those are places that are strong places in the Force, where the Force can be attained and worked with in different ways than you can feel it anywhere else. Strong places. She has her, Rey has her little moment in the cave, the underwater cave, where she has a Force vision.
Oh, okay.
Remember the multiple versions of herself snapping her
fingers? Yeah.
Places that are strong in the Force. And that's actually why Yoda hit on Dagobah. Dagobah was very, very strong in the Force, and it would mask his Force signature there, so he couldn't be found. Places strong in the Force give the users ability to do things that they can't normally do.
Gotcha.
Real quick, one more example. When Yoda shows up at the end of Last Jedi as a Force ghost,
yes,
and is able to call down lightning from the sky, a a Jedi Force ghost normally is not shown the capability to affect the physical world in that
right.
way. But on somewhere like Ochto, as a locus of Force power,
right,
they can affect the world in different ways.
So it depends on the location that a Force ghost can affect.
Locations make a huge difference on amplifying power or decreasing power. Or
would the crystals on the Death Star have anything to do with that? Like if a Force ghost showed up on the Death Star where all those crystals are at, is that kind of Force sensitive? Are those Force sensitive materials? I mean,
the Kybers? Yes. The Kyber crystals are Force sensitive, yes.
So if it's an amalgamation of those things, then different things can happen in certain areas.
Different things can happen, yes.
Okay, that's interesting.
Very.
Okay.
And anywhere that's been touched by either the light side or especially the dark side of the Force, it can have lingering effects.
Okay.
So we'll take our break. We'll be back in a minute and we'll discuss some more.
Right on.
A little more Star Wars talk.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xeniel Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thexenielchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
And we are back.
Hey,
talking some more Star Wars.
Yeah, that's kind of what it went into, but I'm okay with that.
It's fun. I knew it was going to after this weekend, after having seen the movie. I knew it was going to.
That's just the way it goes. So far, I would. I kind of like you not telling me the things and me reading you, because I'm reading him. Anybody who is seeing this, I'm reading him. I'm going to reestablish. I have not seen this film. I don't know anything.
And I've seen it twice, and all it usually takes is one time through a movie.
And I kind of like playing guessing games like this. I am not going to give out anything because I don't flippin' know. So this is fun.
I gotta
come back and listen to this. I will probably come back and listen to this podcast after I watch the film.
I'd be like, oh, that's why he had the reaction he had. Holy crap.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Again, I don't know anything. I know squat. Nobody who's seen the film should know anything from this.
Yes. So, Last Jedi.
Going back to Last Jedi. Okay, so
the Force projection, yes, okay, it was mentioned before.
Yeah.
And the fact that it actually takes Luke's life, he gives over to the Force because of the strength that it took to do it.
Yeah.
Plus, again, on Ochto, an area that is a locus for the Force of the light side, the original Jedi temples, makes sense that he could do that there.
Yes.
Okay. So I get the issue with it seems a bit out of left field for a power to have.
Kinda.
But here's the thing. The thing to understand is also that the Jedi had kind of had a monopoly on the Force.
Yeah.
For thousands of years.
I always considered that was a severe misbalance.
Yes. And there was many things that the Jedi didn't necessarily teach openly as Force abilities.
Right.
Because that part of it was not really a necessity for them, but there were just some things that were just kept kind of in the old record books. And keep in mind, Luke had all the old record books.
Right.
And Rey ends up with all the old record books.
Yes.
At the end of Last Jedi, you see.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's some things in there.
And Luke, I thought that was great.
Without a Jedi order to kind of guide Luke, Luke had to study on his own. And maybe this was an old power that he was able to kind of revive.
You may have picked it up from the text.
Yes.
That makes a lot of sense.
So there's some things in there with it. But if you look at it, you're still getting the same rough storyline of your protagonist, your Force-sensitive protagonist, finding themselves dealing with a mentor.
Reluctant.
A reluctant mentor that is kind of hidden away. Now, admittedly, episode 2 doesn't quite follow into that same kind of category as the middle chapter. But I'm sure there are some similarities.
That's a strange reestablishment because it's such that probably is the biggest breakaway from
it is. But that's
aside from episode 3, which is basically the bad guys win, which is what happened in episode 5.
Well, the bad guys are somewhat victorious in episode 5, but in some ways the bad guys are victorious in episode 2. I mean, think about it. Anakin loses an arm in episode 2. Dooku gets away, and the Clone War is started.
Yeah.
And Dooku shows up on Coruscant, meets up with Darth Sidious, a.k.a. Palpatine.
Right.
And, you know, hey, we started the Clone War.
That's the start of the rise of power.
That's the start, really,
of the
Empire building.
I'm talking like the ultimate be-all, end-all, like Order 66.
Well,
that's just
And what's interesting about that is, yeah, Order 66 does all of that.
Yeah.
You know, the Jedi are all wiped out and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it's kind of the opposite. It's the opposite of what happens really at the end of Return of the Jedi. And they're almost conflicting motifs. I read a theory once. And this was just concerning episodes 1 through episode 6, okay, mm-hmm. at the time. That the way George Lucas was trying to work these episodes out when he was writing them and working through the stories of them, after 6 and writing 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
he was imagining it almost as he was writing a concerto or an opera.
Okay.
In that the various moments within the various movies themselves are basically like a coda in music, a portion of music.
Yeah.
And you see as the things flow through,
mm-hmm.
you see repeated motifs, similar motifs, stuff that'll be in, say, alternating or conflicting keys, that kind of thing. As you compare the beginning one, episode 1 to episode, episode 1 to episode 4, but then episode 1 to episode 6, there's things that conflict and move within them. Interesting to note, one of the chief complaints I had about Last Jedi was the last shot in Last Jedi. Up until Last Jedi, the last shot of every single Star Wars movie contained at least one Skywalker in it. Every single shot, every single last shot, final shot of every Star Wars movie had a Skywalker in it. Episode 1, it's the celebration on Naboo when they've beaten the blockade, Naboo is free. Mm-hmm. You see Anakin Skywalker as a little kid. He's just now a Padawan, got the funky hair, the head braid, that kind of thing.
Right.
Boom, you got Anakin.
Okay.
Second one, you see Anakin and Padme when they're married.
Okay.
Still Anakin. End of the third one,
okay.
It's Owen and Beru Lars,
mm-hmm.
holding...
Luke and Leia.
Luke.
Because holding Luke, yeah.
Leia's on Alderaan.
Leia's on Alderaan. Luke
He's
is,
holding
okay.
Luke.
Holding
and
Luke.
You got the twin sons.
Yep.
Right? New Hope, you have the celebration on Yavin 4.
The ceremony, right?
Yes. Poor Chewie, no medal. And you got Luke and Leia, who we didn't know at the time was a Skywalker.
Right.
At the end of Empire, you have Luke and Leia in the medical frigate after Luke's hand has been repaired, and Lando and Chewie are flying off in the Falcon.
Okay.
To find Han.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The end of Episode 6, Return of the Jedi. You have
The Force ghosts.
You have the Force ghosts, but you have Luke. You have Luke and you have Leia.
Uh huh.
And they're there with Han and Lando and Chewie and all of them. They're celebrating with the Ewoks.
Yeah.
In both the extended version, the extended messed up version where they lose the cool Ewok song at the end. By the way, funny note: the Ewok song, the original Ewok song at the original end of Return of the Jedi,
mm-hmm.
the Yub Nub, you know that one?
Yeah.
You know who helped write the lyrics for that? John Williams' son, who was the lead singer for the band Toto at one point.
What?
Yeah, he was John Williams, the composer. John Williams.
His son was the lead singer for Toto?
Yes, his son was the lead singer for Toto.
What?
Yeah.
Fun I didn't know
note.
That.
Fun little note. But then you get to Force Awakens, right?
Okay.
And you have the last shot of Ahch-To with Rey handing the extending out the lightsaber to Luke. So you have Luke in there, Skywalker in there.
Yep.
You get to the end of Last Jedi, there's no Skywalker. It's the Broom Kid. The kid that reaches out, grabs the broom, looks up into the stars. That's the last shot.
That's the last shot.
So that one made me angry because where the heck is a Skywalker?
Where's a Skywalker?
What's happened? But, okay.
You have an establishment that
now you have episode 9.
Luke is gone, and then it's almost like an afterthought scene.
But you have episode 9. You have episode 9.
Okay.
Right? Which I'm not going to say what the ending shot of that is at all.
Don't.
But what's interesting about that is episode 8 is the second to last. Right?
Okay.
Episode 2 was the second episode.
Mm-hmm.
There's something very interesting about the beginning of episode 2. So going from episode 1 into episode 2, right? Mm-hmm. There's something very different about it.
Okay.
Now, how does the Star Wars movie start? You see the Lucasfilm thing.
Yeah, you see the Lucasfilm, you see the crawl.
You see a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, uh-huh. and then bam!
Yeah,
the music, crawl. The Star Wars comes up, the episode comes up, the crawl comes up, right? Yep. And then when the crawl's done, what happens?
If I remember correctly, in episode 2?
All of them. All of the episodes.
Camera fades down.
Camera pans down.
Camera
not
pans
fades,
down.
But pans
fades,
down.
Pans down, yeah.
It's a space pan
camera
down.
Camera fans, yeah, pans
except
down. Space pan down into a planet.
Or into a ship or something else.
Yeah.
It pans down. Except in episode 2. It's the only one where the camera pans up. So if you're looking at the nine series,
I gotta go back and see it again.
If you're looking at the nine series as a whole,
mm-hmm.
from the first, you know, or as a whole, but then nine individual parts, moving from the first part into the second part, you uh-huh. get a different shot than you get everywhere else.
Right.
Moving from the eighth into the ninth, second to the last, you get
a different
shot than everything else.
Oh.
So it still has kind of a balance to it. It's got kind of
because
a
because if you take it within a trilogy of threes.
There's the trilogy of threes, but look at it as a whole saga, and you can see everything. Empire is talked about as one of the best movies of the Star Wars movies, period.
Yeah.
But the reveal from Anakin to Luke, the big reveal of I'm your father, think about that. That now takes place dead center in the middle of the series. This is the whole thing the series hinges on.
Yeah.
And it being at the fifth one, you see the pivot. That's the middle pivot point, mm-hmm. like a teeter-totter back and forth. Mm-hmm. And these different things balance each other out. Now, after having seen this movie, what they did in episode 9 balances the entire series.
Whoa.
It makes it so that not you don't have to like the way it balances it, because there are things about it you may not like. Some of the decisions they made to do things you may not like. But if you can look at it in a logical format, it is an appropriate ending to the trilogy, the new trilogy, and to the whole saga of movies. It hits all the points it needs to. It brings everything kind of together, and as a whole, they fit. They fit individually as well, but as a whole, they fit. At least from my personal and very humble opinion,
okay.
they fit.
Okay. I will say that I would consider that to be a very good thing. Because they could have wrecked this.
There's people. Believe me, my first inclination, I saw. There are still some moments that are wrong moments. There are moments, but these are moments that are wrong moments in any movie that they do them in. You know, when you have certain reactions of characters that seem out of character, but it's supposed to be like a joyous reaction about something mm-hmm. that just doesn't seem right to have happened. But it's like it's a movie cliche thing for it to happen that way. Those always irritate me no matter what type of movies they're in, because it's a cliche reaction that happens all the time. Couldn't you have done something a little more original? That's not, I would say, specifically on this movie. That's on every movie that does the exact same damn thing in those situations. It's just annoying. Little moments like that. But when I came away from it, first time I watched it on Thursday, I had three major things that I felt should have been different.
Mm-hmm.
Three major things. And I felt if those three major things were changed, it wouldn't change the movie too much, but it would make the outcome better for me, I felt it would make it more appropriate.
Okay.
On the second watching, I realized that those three major changes, they could have worked just as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what they did for the appropriate reason and purpose. It doesn't make people, just like the choices that were made in Last Jedi didn't make people happy. Luke's, again, my initial thing with Last Jedi was the character of Luke. This is not the Luke Skywalker that I loved. This is not the Luke Skywalker I almost wanted to emulate until I realized that Darth Vader looked cooler. I mean, this is this old, bitter, frightened man. This is not the adventurer that I was expecting to have, and certainly not the adventurer I read about for years and years and years in the Legends novels that, again,
right.
they're no longer canon, but the Luke that's in those is a total badass who goes around the universe doing all kinds of awesome things.
Yeah.
Making mistakes, going over to the dark side, by the way.
I know he becomes dark at one
point. Well, he gets tricked to come over to the dark side by a clone of Palpatine. A clone of Palpatine. This actually happened in the books and in the comics under George Lucas, before Disney bought all this stuff. So if you're talking about anything crazy going on, George Lucas had Palpatine cloned. You know what I mean? And trying to take over the galaxy yet again. So anything that happened with somebody like Snoke, I mean, there was a lot more crazy happening. The Yuuzhan Vong, which is a whole race of people from the outer realms,
mm-hmm.
that had no connection, other than apparently Palpatine knew they were coming years and years beforehand,
mm-hmm.
and was trying to set something up to be able to combat them. A bunch of stuff happens with them in the books, in the Legends books. Chewie ends up being the one that dies, and Han is still alive. course, in the Legends books, Han and Leia have multiple children, and Luke has a child.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different changes.
Doesn't he have a child with, like, an assassin that was sent to kill him?
Technically, Mara Jade was the hand of the Emperor, and she was a Force-sensitive person that the Emperor used to go about being an assassin. And she still had the imperative in her head to kill Luke Skywalker after the Emperor had died in the second Death Star.
Yeah.
And so she was actually, the way she got over that, she was actually able to kill a clone of Luke Skywalker that was cloned from his hand that got cut off at Cloud City.
Good lord.
In episode 5. She killed the clone, and that got rid of the mental imperative to kill Luke Skywalker. She falls in love with Luke. They have a kid, Ben Skywalker.
That's funny.
The Solo kids are
technically, being that Ben is a, I mean,
Ben has been Solo in the new movies.
He's been Solo, but he's a maternal Skywalker.
Yes, but Leia and Han in the Legends series had two twins, Jason and Gianna, and then a little one, Anakin.
They had an Anakin Solo?
Yes.
Funny.
Yeah. And one of them turns bad, and I don't think it's Anakin. I think it was Jason.
Oh, Jason spelled with a C, right? J-A-C-E-N? Yeah. Yeah, I remember Jason Solo.
Yeah.
Hearing Jason Solo, the name.
So, I mean, the Legends stuff had a whole bunch of different things going on that were even crazier than any things that have been seen in Force Awakens and the Last Jedi. I mean, the Death Star tech was used in something called the Darksaber Project in the Legends, mm-hmm. which was basically just the super laser from the Death Star, mm-hmm. without the surrounding Death Star. So it was just the super laser itself.
What was it, like, handheld, and you could just point it at a planet and
no,
kill
it? it was gigantic spacefaring vehicle.
It was the lightsaber cannon.
Yes, basically that's all it was. Then there was another Death Star that was hidden in the Maw. The Maw being a cluster of black holes near the spice plant.
It's called the Maw.
The spice planet Kessel.
Right.
And they had, if you got inside them, you had to navigate the Maw because of all of the gravitational stuff from the various black holes.
Yeah.
And inside that was an installation that the Imperials had set up where they had another Death Star. Yeah.
They just didn't stop.
And at that same location, they had
guys, drop it. It wasn't working.
At that same location, they had something called a Sun Crusher, which was a ship that would send a proton torpedo into a sun and destroy the sun. Yeah, I think I remember a Star Trek movie with a similar plot. Generations, I believe?
No.
Yes. Star Trek Generations. Yes, Soren had a rocket that would destroy suns that he was trying to move that
Oh, that's right. That he was trying to Yeah, he was moving the ribbon by changing the gravitational pull of the sun by destroying it, turning it into a black hole. Yeah, that's right, huh?
Yep. So, which wouldn't happen, by the way. That's one of the few places that Star Trek's pretty good about trying to keep their science as much rooted as possible. If you destroyed a sun that way, the mass would still be there. So it would still create the gravity. But whatever.
Well, it would create the gravity, but I think the thing about a black hole is once...
I wasn't creating black holes. It was just destroying the suns. The idea was to destroy the suns and change the gravitational fields and poles, which...
It wouldn't technically disperse the energy, would it?
No.
It would still make it that mass.
Yeah, the gravity field would... The
but
problem
if
is,
you're removing the energy and the heat and destroying it,
but
then
the problem
wouldn't
is,
it spread the energy out and dissipate it?
In different, yeah, and it, so it wouldn't make that ribbon of things alter course in the way that it did,
mm-hmm.
to make him be able to interact with it in the way that it did. It just wouldn't work that way. But that's okay. It's a movie, so whatever.
Yeah.
It's a science fiction movie.
Sci-fi,
we
man.
We can enjoy it. But except for, you know, having to have Kirk die in such a crappy way. Let him die better.
Oh my.
Yes. Awful.
I love that those were his last words. Oh my.
Is it oh my?
It's oh my. He says oh my and stops breathing, yeah.
So he apes decay?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice. But
yeah,
anyway.
I remember seeing that before and going, oh man, that was a terrible, terrible final line to have.
Yes, awful.
The captain of the Enterprise say, like, that's his death scene, that's it, okay.
But yeah, for
supposed to be this badly acted emotional moment between him and Picard.
Yeah.
You know?
But to Star Wars.
Yeah, moving to Star Wars again.
The Last Jedi, I had my reservations. I hated the movie when I first saw it. But again, on going back and watching it, I realized it was just another, it was a rehash in many ways of Empire.
I guess, yeah, I guess you could see that.
And it gives, it was, but it wasn't. There was enough echoing of Empire, but it was also enough of a different feel and different kind of movie. And I think it works. And I find it to be a really enjoyable film
I will tell you this. When I first saw it, here's the thing. My attitude when I go in to see a Star Wars film is don't expect a damn thing. Yeah. Don't go in thinking that something that what you think is going to do, ditch that completely.
Yeah.
You cannot do that. Yeah. Because if you did that, then you're going to expect something that you're not going to get.
If you did that, then what ends up happening is what happened to me when I saw episode 3 at a midnight showing. First time I ever went to a midnight showing. Back when all they did was midnight showings and not like 6 o'clock in the evening showings the day before a movie comes out, but just the midnight. I went to the midnight showing of episode 3. I came out of that theater so angry. I feel sorry for our tech guy, Rob. Mm-hmm. I feel sorry for him.
Well, were because you just he was there.
He was there with me.
Like you were screaming. Watch it.
I was livid. I don't think I have ever been that mad leaving a movie theater about anything.
Wow.
Maybe the one time the weird random girl tried to make out with me while I was trying to watch Pitch Black. Don't make out with me in a movie theater. I'm here to watch a movie. ruined my enjoyment of Pitch Black, which luckily it's not that good a movie. It's the best Riddick movie, but it's not that good.
Yeah, it is the best Riddick movie. There was an appeal to it.
It's just an Aliens redo, so.
Basically
an Aliens redo. Yeah. But still.
I mean, it takes place on a planet instead of on a ship, right?
Well, so does Aliens 2. Or Aliens instead of Alien.
Yeah.
But anyway, point being, this was episode 3 leaving the theater was about the maddest I had ever been. And the main reason I was mad because I went in with one expectation, only one.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to see Anakin in the Darth Vader suit as early as possible. And I wanted to see Darth Vader going around destroying things.
And you got instead.
I wanted
you
to
got,
see. No! That's what I got.
No!
And it was awful because, like, it's all I wanted. Just give me him. Even if he wasn't fully in the suit yet, even if it was all but the mask because he hadn't been dumped in the volcano yet. Which had been canon for a long time, by the way, that he had gotten in a volcano. I remember that in like about books, like years and years ago, about the different characters in Star Wars. Even if like, heck, if the last third of the movie was Anakin dressed in the full Sith garb, dressed in the Darth Vader costume, almost, with the exception of again the mask. And him hunting down Obi-Wan, because Obi-Wan's like the last Jedi around, and make that last third of the movie Obi-Wan running and trying to get away from him on this planet, and Vader just hunting people down and truly being Darth Vader.
Right.
It would have been fantastic, because even in the suit, at least the suit would have given him so much more power and fear than his Jedi garb that he was in at the end of that movie. And already having ditched the blue lightsaber for the red, or even have him corrupt his light. No, because the blue lightsaber has to be kept for Luke. So even if he had ditched the blue one already and gotten the red, that would have just been amazing just to see. And then the full on transformation later. Great. No, we got what we got, and it was just they kept Anakin in the Jedi stuff fighting Obi-Wan, and that even that little tiny bit was enough to make it for me just like. Why, George, should you hamper what Hayden could have done? We don't know what Hayden could have done with the material because George only gave him so much to work with and so much of a way to deal with it. It's like you kind of ruined the kid's career and not giving him a chance to do.
He helped Hayden Christensen become one of the most hated actors in existence. He killed that guy's career with those films.
And the thing is, what could he have done?
That he's capable, but he had crap dialogue.
Yeah. Crap dialogue, terrible. Crap direction to do it, and some bad choices. I came out of that very angry. So I understand when you go in, you don't want to have expectations, and you're also not, you don't wear Star Wars on your sleeve like I do.
No.
So going into Last Jedi, you had no expectations, and what happened?
Going into Last Jedi, I really enjoyed it because I was because
it did kind of subvert what you expect.
I did notice the recurring theme of out with the old and with the new kind of a thing. You know, don't pay attention to, stop being attached to the past. It's not going to do anything for you. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I saw that, like, pounded into your head. And I knew that it was a different director, so I didn't know which way he was going to take the film and all this kind of stuff. So, I mean, part of me was just like, okay, I see what you're doing here. But I looked past that because I knew that that shouldn't be what you should concentrate on. And
no, and actually, funny enough, I will say again, without giving away anything, I don't feel like Rise of Skywalker stops that message.
Okay.
While it may tie up all the ends and get everything taken care of, it doesn't stop that message of moving forward. It actually, I think, helps to reinforce it. Maybe not as in your face with it, but it helps to reinforce it as the fact of everything that was is no longer. It's a new world. It's a new universe. Cool. It's a new way of moving. And I mean, again, I can't say anything more than that without giving away probably one of the biggest plot points.
Okay, don't.
But it does that very well.
I will tell you this. When I went into Last Jedi, I kind of expected that Luke was going to die or that he would be the last surviving Jedi. But the thing is that Rey is there, which means, like, logically speaking, I was like, okay, Luke's going to die. Like, I saw the term, like, I saw the title, I went, Luke's dead. That's the first thing I thought. So I knew it was going to happen.
Yeah.
Now, what I didn't expect was the Force projection, and I saw that plain as day. As soon as I saw it, I was like,
He got a haircut? First off,
all that gray in that beard is gone. He didn't look like that 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the first thing. And then the other thing was, the other major thing was that it was just so, I don't know, like I knew that was the only major thing to expect. I could see that, oh yeah, the other thing, he's not leaving footprints in the salt.
You know what I knew?
I know what's, well, yeah.
You know what I knew? Leia's interaction with him.
That's when you realized it. Oh yeah, you see close-ups of him. He looks younger there.
He shows up. It's like, he doesn't look right. And then when Leia looks up at him, she knows what he's doing. She knows what he's doing. She can tell that he's not really there.
Cool.
She knows. Oh, crap.
Yeah.
I just realized something.
What? Don't.
I'll tell you off.
Okay.
I'll tell you off.
Off air?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, wow.
Okay.
It's not so much a moment that I didn't realize happened in the movie. I realized it happened in the movie.
Are we getting into spoiler territory?
I realize what implications it may have for the other movie.
Okay.
Rise of Skywalker.
I can tell you about it off air
and not give away what it does in the other movie.
Okay.
It'll just get your mind spinning. But it's just a neat little observation that, okay, that makes sense why that happened.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I could tell that Leia.
Like, I knew that that was going to happen. I knew that Luke was going. And I figured, I was like, okay, well, if he's going, he's going to move on. He's going to become a Force ghost and all that kind of stuff. I expected to see Luke as a Force ghost.
Yeah.
I expected to see it, but I wasn't mad about it not happening in that film. So, you know, I'm not going to, I don't know anything. I'm not going to say to expect anything. But I will tell you that I do know one major spoiler. That part kind of sucks for me. Because I saw it on accident in a Google search.
The one you told me?
Yeah, the one I told you. I will not mention it on air. That one kind of sucks for me, but I have a little bit of context to go by, and it is apparently a very early established spoiler. I will say no more. But then you telling me that...
Not overly early, but it is a stat. I mean, it's the thing is that while that is a spoiler piece, I'm telling you right now, it really doesn't affect too much of the plot.
Okay.
Let me rephrase. You knowing the spoiler doesn't affect your interpretation of the plot.
Good.
It does affect the plot heavily, but your knowing it doesn't really affect the way the story unfolds.
It affects, I'm not going to say anymore. But going back to what you're talking about, the fact that you have mentioned to me now that it's very fast paced. That's something episode, I'm like, okay, information's, nine? Information's going to come at me, boom, boom, boom. I have to be able to pay attention to
it. This is a movie, if you're going to go see it in the theater, Don't bring like, small kids the first time.
I consider that not a spoiler, but a tip.
No, don't bring small kids the first time you go see it in the theater, because you are going to want to be able to pay attention to what's going on.
For sure.
Because it is it throws everything at you super, super fast. I mean, Last Jedi had a lot of really slow moments.
Yeah.
Had a lot of things where it just kind of, you know, just plodded along telling some story.
Right.
This does not have any real slow moments. It is just coming at you full speed the whole time.
Legit. Okay.
The whole time.
I'm down. Like, I would love to see that. That sounds great.
So, again, this I knew for some reason that this would end up, even though it's supposed to be our Christmas type episode, it would end up being about Star Wars, because honestly, I can tell you, for me,
everybody else is talking about it right now.
Well, and for me, Christmas means Star Wars, because the majority of gifts that I get for Christmas are Star Wars related gifts. In fact, the two things that you were able to find for me for Christmas.
Yes.
I wouldn't say were able, but that you did find for me for Christmas were Star Wars related. And so it's the thing is, that is more common than not. I would say 90% of the gifts that I get for any holiday, but specifically for Christmas, are Star Wars related gifts, because that's just my thing.
Well, yeah, so, that's his thing. That's what he is all about. It's his, like, he, right now I'm looking at him and he's wearing, along with his extremely fashionable Grinch t-shirt, which is fantastic.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
On top of that, he's also wearing the necklace, which is a dual dog tag, where one is a rebel symbol and the other one is a imperial symbol. Yeah. Like, that's his thing. So,
yeah. Star Wars is what I do. So for me to talk about it after watching, I kind of figured it would go this way. But I do hope that that y'all are able to enjoy this after you've had your Christmas, after you've been able to get your stuff. Yeah. Maybe you got some Star Wars stuff and you can revel in it.
Yeah.
Maybe while you have this week off of work, school, whatever, you can get yourself off to the theater and go and see the new Star Wars movie. And heck, spoiler free, because if we find a spoiler on any of the comments, we will delete it, because I'm not in the business of letting spoilers go.
Guys, come on.
If you want to talk about, after you've seen it, if you want to talk about it, there are ways that you can get a hold of us, or at least get a hold of me personally, not Mike, because he still don't know.
Yeah.
But I'll be more than glad to talk about it. But still.
When would you consider it as far as social media wise? That's a good question.
What do you mean?
When would you consider it appropriate for the release of this film? What do you want to wait till the first of the year?
I normally feel, this is how I feel like. I feel that people have, on a major release like this, or like Avengers Endgame,
mm-hmm.
or any of those major big movies like that,
yeah.
that you don't already know the story to.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
a 2 week to a month window or something like that. Like, how many weeks would you say 2 weeks?
I say that's a max.
2 weeks, that makes sense. Because at 2 weeks, that's enough time for somebody to go see the movie on a Wednesday night when the theater's dead.
My thing is this.
Or matinee it on a day off.
Well, it comes down to this. If you are so worried about spoilers for the movie, go and see the movie.
Right.
If you're not going to go and see it, I don't believe that the public has the obligation to keep their mouth shut beyond, maybe even beyond a week sometimes, but definitely beyond 2 weeks. At least
I know some people are just like, I give you a week. There's a couple of guys, and part of me is just like, I'm not going to be able to have time to go see it within a week, but I want to see it.
Which I understand, but at the same time, if you're not going to be able to see it within the week or the 2 weeks, understand the reality is you're going to hear the spoilers of it. You're going to hear what happens in it.
I know. I'm just going to do everything I can to stay off of Facebook until that.
I just say accept the fact that if you're not going to get to it in that much time, you're going to have to hear about what's happening with it. And that's kind of the life of it.
Yeah.
And that's okay. The thing is, this is not something that means something to you in that nearly religious sense that it does to me. I see it at the first showing, a Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
I see it at the very first showing because I have to.
Yeah.
Because it's an imperative in my own brain that I need to go see it at the first showing.
I have a question for you, actually.
Oh,
speaking of this, do you see the Star Wars stories as well on release date, or do you wait?
Yes, I do. Like Rogue One.
You saw Rogue One on release date?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see Solo?
Solo I did not, because I was not interested in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Han Solo is actually not one of my favorite characters in the movie. I like Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
But I didn't really care about knowing Han Solo's backstory. Didn't mean anything to me. So I wasn't that interested in seeing it. I actually did not see that until it came out on DVD.
All right, so Disney's doing the TV series stuff.
Yes, Mandalorian.
Which is cool.
Which
I watch
whenever one of those
comes
out.
Which is great. I've got a question for you.
Fire them.
What other Star Wars story. Are there other Star Wars stories in development right now?
There was. Solo was actually going to be a trilogy of films.
Really?
But the first one performed so badly by Star Wars standards that they decided to scrap it.
Well, I remember they were going to... Obi-Wan was originally going to be a Star Wars story film.
There was discussion
of it. What they ended up doing was they canceled that project as a film.
And then did the
because
series.
Because of how bad Solo did. Because people boycotted Solo, didn't
Solo
they?
Solo did very bad. Part of it had to do with the fact that they dealt with the Kessel Run in a way that most people really didn't like.
Oh, okay. They put the Kessel Run in it. Yes. I haven't seen it yet.
They put the Kessel
Run
in it.
It's funny, I have it. I've had it for like a year, but I haven't been able to see it.
They put a bunch of things into it that were kind of neat, including the reemergence of Darth Maul. Everybody knows is everybody who's seen any everybody who is a big Star Wars fan who's seen the Clone Wars TV series, who's seen the Rebels TV series, we already knew Darth Maul was alive during that time period. Mm-hmm. So for us, it wasn't that big a reveal. Although it was nice to see Ray Park in the makeup again, it still wasn't
cool.
It still wasn't that big of a reveal for us. But I think there's a lot of issues with the Solo movie. Keep in mind that it had one set of directors. And they got dropped, and Ron Howard had to be brought in and reshoot the majority of the film.
Oh.
The guys that directed or that originally directed it were the guys that directed the first Lego movie and the 21 and 22 Jump Street movies.
Oh. And then they got Ron Howard?
Why didn't they
just get Ron Howard?
Because they wanted these guys originally to do the movie, and about 60-70% of the way through the filming of the movie, Disney did not like the direction it was being taken, fired the directors, and brought in Ron Howard to reshoot the whole thing.
Damn.
Because there were major problems that they had with it.
Damn.
So it was a very plague-ridden movie set and movie shooting.
And it
kind of
shows up because I remember hearing that it was pretty convoluted.
The story itself is kind of dumb.
Okay.
In my personal feelings and opinions, it's kind of a dumb story.
Okay.
There was nothing. I watched it one time, and I can say I didn't have any desire to watch it a second time. Like Rogue One, I love watching. That's an amazing movie, and it's more of a war film than a Star Wars film, but mm-hmm. it's still an amazing film. And the 43 seconds you get of Vader as Vader is probably the best 43 seconds of any Star Wars movie. With the exception of, again, the one shot from the new movie, The Rise of Skywalker, that I told you about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Otherwise, those 43 seconds of Darth Vader being Darth Vader in the costume, that's an amazing film. Just 43 seconds of, yes, this is what I always wanted as a kid, Darth Vader destroying everything around him. That's in the end of Rogue One. But
yeah, I told my wife about that actually.
You've seen it, right?
I have seen it. I was watching it, and she fell asleep because she wasn't feeling good. She was sick at the time, and I turned it on and did not stop watching it. Yeah. It was like 10 o'clock at night, and I didn't go to bed until like 12:30.
It's a great movie.
So good.
But yeah, as far as the Star Wars, the extracurricular Star Wars movies go. For the most part, I want to try to see them. There will be more Star Wars movies. This is the thing to understand. There will be more Star Wars movies.
Disney didn't buy the franchise to put it to bed. No,
my father even asked me about this. My father asked me this weekend, do you think there's going to be any more Star Wars movies? Yes.
Absolutely.
There will be more Star Wars movies. However, will it have anything to do with the cast from the most recent three movies, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and Rise of Skywalker? I can't say for sure whether that cast will be included in it. I can say this much, that this saga has a contained story within it, and the things that are contained within the story might affect other stories.
Okay.
But this story is what it is. And there's not going to be an episode 10 or 11 or 12. Anything that happens off of this is a completely different story.
Cool. Okay.
And there's a reason for that.
The set of nine is the mainline Star Wars.
No, it's not. I wouldn't say centralized. Mainline. I wouldn't say mainline. I wouldn't even say centralized. This is one very specific story about one very specific set of things. I cannot say anything more than that.
Okay.
I can't even quantify what set of things it is talking about.
Well, then
because that gives too much. But that set of nine is one set of story.
Okay.
Anything beyond that is, like I say, it'll be in the same Star Wars universe. There'll be some interconnections to some extent, but that set of nine movies is what it is.
Okay.
So there will be more Star Wars people, and I will be the one there to see it. Like, I see The Mandalorian. Like, I'm going to see the Obi-Wan series.
Yeah.
Like, I'm eager to see whatever else happens with the various Star Wars franchise pieces.
Cool.
So we'll see. Anyway, thank you all for listening to our Star Wars discussion.
Yeah.
Maybe in a couple of weeks, we can we'll say a month. A month from now, we can have a spoiler edition of this discussion. Because hopefully by then, you'll get a chance to see it. If not, then we won't have one, because I won't be mean to Mike and have him sit through a bunch of spoilers for a movie he hasn't seen yet. But Mike, where can people be listening to us?
Well, you can head to our website, thezenialchronicles.com. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N. You could search us on TuneIn. You could search us on Google Podcast. I think you could search us on Apple Podcast. I've been able to find us on Apple Podcast.
Fantastic.
There's another one I'm missing.
YouTube? Did you say YouTube?
YouTube. Oh, yes. We are also on YouTube. Search The Zenial Chronicles on YouTube. And you, on all the podcast episodes, including the website, you can only listen up to, like, I want to say the last 10 or so.
Okay.
But you can find the entire archive of all of our podcasts on our YouTube page.
What are we up to? 45?
I think this is the 45th episode.
Really?
Yeah.
I just pulled that one out of my butt. Yeah. Awesome.
I believe we are episode 45. Yeah.
We're getting close to a full year
worth.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
We've been at this for a year.
A long time.
That's scary. Well, I mean, not really, but still scary that we've been at
this for a year. Getting close. We started in what, February? Right?
And we still have crap to talk about.
I know.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy.
We're a couple of long-winded guys. What can you say?
So, hey, on that YouTube one, like he said, you can find them all there, but also, what do you want to do when you're on the YouTube one, Mike?
Dude, like us. Comment. Yes. Subscribe.
Click that bell. Click the bell.
Yes.
You got to click the bell. And when you comment, we will comment back.
Yes.
We will have discussion.
We pay attention.
There, on Facebook, any of the places, we will comment back.
Yeah.
So that's all for this week. We will talk to you next week. Hey, everybody, have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.